As we worship the Lord, it's a privilege that we may have to open His Word and to do so in our own language and to do so in freedom and with ease and comfort. And let us do so again this afternoon with turning, first of all, to Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3 in our Pew Bibles, page 606. And we'll read from verse 16 through 26. And then we'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 in our Pew Bibles, page 1077, and read the first 7 verses of that chapter. Isaiah 3, verse 16, the Word of God. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet, therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets and the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms and the rings, the nose jewels, the festal apparel and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans and the robes. And so it shall be, instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench, instead of a sash, a rope, instead of well-set hair, baldness, instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit on the ground. So far, Isaiah 3. You may wonder, what is that about, and what does that have to do with this afternoon? In Peter, 1 Peter 3, he describes the priority of true beauty. And we want to highlight that, especially in relation also to the raising up of daughters. As we have a daughter of Brian and Rachel being baptized this afternoon, and as that responsibility of raising up daughters falls to all of us as congregation by way of God's covenant. So 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Our text is verses 3 and 4 of this chapter, 1 Peter 3, verse 3, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Blessed are those who hear God's word and who keep it. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and especially Brian and Rachel, we have this text and this focus this afternoon in part in view of your bringing Nora forward for baptism. As congregation, we rejoice with you. The Lord has blessed you both very richly. He's led you through some deep ways, and now He's brought you not just one, but two great blessings, two children to raise up for Him. And they are both girls. So God is giving you in life the privilege and responsibility of raising up two girls. As we know, girls are different than boys, and we raise up girls in a sense somewhat differently than we raise up boys. And so it is appropriate at times to think about this particular task, and what does the Bible have to say about raising up daughters? So that's what this is about. Let me say too that this is important because girls are not always properly raised. I mean, in the history of the world, girls have not always had it easy. Maybe they have been unwanted. Here we can think, for instance, of the long policy that was in China, the one-child policy that inevitably favored boys over girls. Meanwhile, in other places, if they are wanted, sadly it happens that girls can be many times mistreated and abused. The whole recent Me Too movement, despite its excesses at various points, it has brought this problem to light, and hopefully the fruit of it will be greater care and respect for all women and girls. But we don't want to take our cues from the culture in the first place or from current events. We want to take our cues, our direction from the Word of God. So the question is, what does the Bible have to say about raising up daughters? Let me say here that this is important for all of us, not only for the two of you, Brian and Rachel, not only for all parents and parents of daughters, but for all of us as congregation, as we care for the girls that are born to us as a church. That's a covenant responsibility, by the way, that we all care for and pray for and together train up, yes, boys and girls, the whole generation and generations that are coming after us. What is more, we can say that our text speaks very specifically to all women here. In fact, in the first place, that's Peter's focus. And so all daughters, whether young or old, are in view. And likewise, men, let's say young men, seeking a wife at some point, and the question of what you should seek for in a wife. And all of us men, our text is teaching us. Peter's words can be helpful to us as we think about what kind of femininity we should appreciate and support and encourage. I mean, you know, the world has its own ideas on this and how mixed up the world is, how confused and wrong-headed and evil-minded even the world is. So Peter's words mean to be very helpful to us on these points. So the sermon is for the whole church, for the whole people of God. Its focus is, of course, for this afternoon, on raising up daughters. Now, how do we do that? Of course, at the outset, we can say that in one sense, raising up daughters is no different than raising up sons. In a sense, that's true. I mean, when Paul, in Ephesians 6, outlines the duties of fathers in relation to children, Paul does not say, well, here's how you work with sons, and here's how you work with daughters. No, Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So we are to train both sons and daughters to fear God, to love Him and to seek Him according to His Word. That's for sons and daughters. Yes, for all our children, bring them up. And yet we all know, as mentioned already, sons and daughters are different. We show by our parenting that we understand that. For example, as mothers, you dress your daughters differently than you do your sons. And you style their hair differently or far more conscientiously and intensely than you do your boys. Boys and girls are different. We get that. When we think of boys, we maybe think of strength and toughness. And when we think of girls, daughters, then we think more of beauty. Boys grow up to be tough and strong. Girls grow up to be beautiful. Later in the service, we'll sing from Psalm 144, and it reflects that, from Psalter 393. The sons growing up as plants, as tough, strong, fruitful plants, the girls as pillars, as ornaments of beauty and glory in among the people of God. But the question now is, what does this beauty refer to? What is beauty, really? And What should be our aim with regard to beautiful daughters? Well, it's those questions and more that our text speaks to. And so let us listen to the Apostle Peter and to the Lord God Himself as He is speaking to us specifically with regard to women and concerning women. We can apply it now also to raising up beautiful daughters. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So that's the text, and our theme is raising up beautiful daughters. Three things to highlight. First of all, the awareness to nurture. The awareness to nurture. Now, Peter brings this up at the end of the text. He speaks there about in the sight of God. Verse 4 at the end. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, that is a remarkable statement. Because Peter is saying, look, God sees us. No, Peter is saying God sees into us. He not only sees us, He sees deep into the hidden person of the heart. That is deep seeing. Now, how little we think of this, but it's true. It's like David wrote in Psalm 139, verse 4, there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. God always sees. He sees and knows all. Whether we are aware of it or not, we are always before Him as a wide open book. There is no way we can hide anything from Him. And the point is now, is it not that awareness that we need to nurture in our daughters? Right, in our sons too. But thinking now of our daughters, and especially this whole matter of beauty. What is the trend today? It's been the trend for ever since the fall in a certain way. The corruption of man's mind here. What do the magazines and the commercials emphasize? What can be so often the pressure among peers? Why is the cosmetic industry a booming business and plastic surgery and other things so popular in the world at large? Well, it's because you've got to look good before others. It's all about what other people think. It's all about what the men think. Is that not the emphasis? I mean, don't so many women wonder and even struggle? You hear that sometimes? Will I measure up? Right? Will I be accepted? Will they think I'm pretty? Will I be pretty enough? That's the pressure. We look for the praise of man, of men. Who thinks about the approval of God? But see, what our daughters need to hear and know and understand and live with every day is that first and foremost and above all, we live before the face of God. And He always sees us. And He sees into us. And what matters more than anything else is what He thinks. That's what our daughters have to know. That's the awareness we have to nurture in them. They're going to feel all kinds of pressure from man, from men, to want to look good. And by the way, that's not wrong in itself. Peter's not saying that's wrong. We'll get into that with our second point. But far more than what man thinks, what does God think? That has to be their care. See, one of the problems with living only before the face of man, as we do by nature, man's evaluation is so shallow, so superficial. We learned that way back in the Old Testament already, when Samuel had to anoint a king from the family of Jesse. And Jesse had all these boys and they all came through. And, you know, the first one came through and Samuel's like, that's a pretty handsome man. He must be the king. And the Lord said, no, Samuel. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature because I have refused him for. And here's the important line. The Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. Man's view is so limited. Man's analysis is so lacking. He can't see past the surface. His evaluation is hardly worth counting. He knows almost nothing at all. That's one problem when you are living only in the sight of man. Another problem is that in view of eternity, man's view is nothing significant whatsoever. We are all living here, yes, but someday dying and standing before our Creator. Not a mere man then, no, the living God. And we will someday give account to Him of our life. We will someday meet our God. Paul reflects on this in various places, but one place is 2 Corinthians 5. Listen to verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 5. He says, "We make it our aim to be well-pleasing to God." What's your life goal, Paul? Is to be well-pleasing to God. Why, Paul? Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, good or bad. Paul's saying God's watching and tracking and marking and keeping record, and his evaluation matters more than anything else. Do not judge me, he says elsewhere to the Corinthians. God is my judge. And our daughters need to live with that awareness, because that is how they will be able to meet the pressure of the people all around them who are saying, "You must look like this, you must act like this, you must do this, you must be like this." And it can be overwhelming until you say, "Look, all of your views and all of what you want and ask for and think is important matters nothing, because I see myself before the face of my God who looks deep into my heart. And what he says and what he thinks matters most of all." How do we nurture this awareness in our daughters? How do we help them know and feel that they live in the sight of God? Well, one thing we can do is regularly remind them of this reality. We can point them to passages like the one just quoted from 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We can tell them, we can teach that to them. We live in the sight of God. But you know, we shouldn't only teach it to them. The most powerful way to convey this awareness and to nurture it within our children, and especially our daughters, is not simply to say it, but to live it ourselves. Do we demonstrate that we are aware that we live before the face of God? Do our children hear from us as we raise them up? That is what matters most to us. Because, see, that will be powerful. But here also is where we're challenged. Just by even practical things. If you're in public and somewhere and the kids start acting out, and, you know, as parents you look at each other and you say, "What are we going to do now?" People are watching. People are looking. Then you say to your kids, "Shh, be quiet. Don't you see everyone around you looking at you?" Well, there may be a place for that. But if that's all they ever hear, they miss the main thing. Or what about if, as adults, we're preoccupied with our appearance, with how we look, with our body size or shape, or our dress or our hair or whatever else it is. And that's the thing that our kids, the takeaway, "Oh, mom, dad, just care about their physical appearance and not about their standing before the face of God." Of course, it gets even worse if we are living outright unfaithfully before the Lord, indifferent to Him or disobedient to Him. If we're not upright, if we don't care to be upright in life, they'll get the message that it doesn't really matter, does it, what God thinks or if He's watching. I'll just live as if He doesn't exist. See, the best way to foster awareness in our children and to develop this in our daughters is to live as those who know God sees us, God sees into us. And we live by His grace, through His Son, to please Him. So that's the first point then, in terms of raising up beautiful daughters. We need to start with this, the awareness to nurture. But now in view of Peter's words, we can make a second very important point, and here it is, the beauty to stress. The beauty to stress. What's the text say? We have to read this carefully. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So Peter is talking about beauty, and he's saying, don't let it be physical beauty that you pursue above all else, but aim ultimately for incorruptible beauty. Focus on the beauty that endures, that is forever. The beauty that never dies. Now what's important to say is what Peter is not teaching here. He's not teaching here, look, don't care about physical beauty at all. Or don't take care of yourself at all. Peter's not teaching that. And we know that from the text. Because if you look at it, you can see in verse 3 that the word fine is in italics. And so is the word merely. Even the word beauty is in italics. So that means that they have been added by the translators, by the editors of the translation, to help us understand the sense of the text. It's impossible often to make one-to-one translations from one language to another. But just imagine for a moment that fine and merely weren't in the text. It's just so we have Peter's point here. If the text said, do not let your adornment be outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on apparel, putting on clothes. Is Peter saying, don't put on clothes? No, he's not saying that at all. The text then is all about balance or proportion. What is the emphasis of your life? Where do you put the bulk of your energy and your effort? What at the end of the day is all important to you? Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Hairdos, jewelry, and clothes, nice clothes, and all the rest. And just so we're clear, it's not wrong for our daughters to get nice haircuts or to arrange them with nice hairstyles. Or it's not wrong, dads, to want to give your daughter a necklace or a bracelet or to buy them a new and pretty dress or something like that. None of that has to be wrong. It's not wrong to acknowledge physical beauty. It's not wrong even to highlight that beauty through arranging the hair or wearing jewelry or putting on fine clothes. Let that be clear. Peter is not suggesting that we dress our daughters without care. No. Let them be beautiful. They are girls after all. God has made them girls. And they will be beautiful. And they will grow up to be beautiful women, each in their own way. But here is Peter's point. There is another beauty. For all of that beauty, there is another beauty that is way more enduring. A beauty that is prized by God Himself. And let that be what we stress. What is that beauty? Well, Peter tells us, verse 4, that it is inner beauty. It is hidden. The hidden person of the heart. And it comes to expression in the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. So Peter is stressing here a beautiful heart that's reflected in a beautiful life. And what does he mean exactly? Well, he tells us a gentle and quiet spirit. Now here too, we have to be clear. Let me first say what this is not. Sometimes people, sometimes men, can misunderstand this beauty. A gentle and quiet spirit. You know, Peter is not saying women should never be allowed to say anything ever, but simply do what they are told. Peter is not calling Christian women here to close their mouths and to fold up, as if they can never have an opinion or express themselves or assert themselves or develop some aspect of their person and character and talent. No, Peter is not saying that. We can be sure because Christ Himself is said to have been meek and lowly. In fact, he said that Himself. I am meek and lowly of heart. In other words, I have a gentle and quiet spirit. Meanwhile, he was a man and he had convictions even. And he expressed himself and asserted himself. And was firm and faithful and forthright and all of that. Gentle and quiet spirit. That's not just being quiet and saying, yes, sir, all the time. In fact, gentle and quiet spirit is not at all a natural
virtue. That's really key to understanding this. Peter is not talking about something natural, something that's in the genes or that you can just develop a little bit through some training. No, he's talking about something supernatural. For one thing, he refers to this beauty as being incorruptible. It's not even like gold and silver, which are lasting in many respects, but even they can be corrupted, spoiled or ruined, thrown away. No, this beauty is in a class all by itself. It is incorruptible. It is enduring. And what is more, it is precious to God. He loves this beauty. Therefore, we have to say it cannot be anything of ourselves. Cannot be a mere quality that we display and nurture through our own self-effort or that we somehow train up our daughters to embrace all on their own. No. A gentle and quiet spirit, this incorruptible beauty in the hidden person of their heart. Peter is thinking of nothing less than rebirth, leading to holiness and righteousness of life. And what is in view here is a totally new heart and soul, a spirit that is born from above, a spirit that is heavenly and holy in its essence and in its fruits. What Peter is thinking of is a tenderness and a patience and a compassion and a love, a heart or an attitude that is not angry, that is not irritated and irritable. A gentle and quiet spirit is not selfish or fighting, but God-loving and peace-loving. A gentle and quiet spirit is a spirit that cares for others and serves others and promotes the good of others, all in dependence on God and for His glory. And when wrong is done to a gentle and quiet spirit, that spirit, that daughter, that sister, she does not say, "Let me get even with you." No, she says, "Let me love you still with the love of Jesus Christ." See, this was important, so important in Peter's context, because he was addressing women, godly women who were married to ungodly or godless men. The wives were Christian, the men were not. And Peter's point is to say, don't talk to them about this, just win them by your life. Let the beauty of what God has done in you and to you, and He's still doing, the way He's changing you, making you not contentious, but considerate and kind, including also that you submit to your husband in obedience to the Lord. Let that be your witness. Let that be your beauty. And let that be the beauty then that we stress with our daughters. Beauty that comes to expression ultimately in submission to God. And when they're growing up in our care, in submission to us as parents, and in submission to the way of service as Christians in this world, there is nothing so beautiful in all the world as a new heart and a godly life. As worked out also in our daughters, in their particular stage and state of life. See, this is Peter's point. You can have the greatest looks in the world. Every man can turn his head when you walk by. You can get your face on every magazine cover. You can audition for every beauty pageant and win them all. But no matter how great you look on the outside, all of that is fading, is perishable, doesn't last. And all of that cannot hold a candle to what Peter is describing here in terms of beauty. The incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. The beauty of a godly heart and a godly life. And fathers and mothers too, we are to stress this with our daughters. Sons too, in a sense, they need it just as well, just in a different way. But daughters, at least with regard to beauty, we need to stress it already when they are young. Let them hear it from us. Mums, when you are dressing them when they're little and when you are doing their hair and when they're older and you take them shopping for clothes and let them hear from you. We're having a good time, aren't we? But you know, nothing is so precious as inner spiritual beauty. Let them hear it from us. Fathers, us too. When we admire our daughters, and we should, we have a responsibility to affirm them, to praise them, to let them know that to us In our eyes, they are beautiful, beautiful girls. But even so, what is all important is the beauty of the heart that is like the Lord. Let our daughters hear it. Let them also see it in our lives. There's all kinds of ways to apply this. Moms, it means that while you take care of yourselves, you're not careless in dress and appearance. But at the same time, you're not always buying new clothes or always adding to your jewelry or countless hours being spent on makeup and hair. And meanwhile, not into God's word or not interested in God's worship or not seeking to live by God's ways. Sometimes we can say something with our mouth, but if our life contradicts every point that we make, that's not good. Let our daughters see that we mean what we say when we stress the beauty that is truly vital and prize to pursue and prize. And don't us fathers have to hear this also? I mean, if we only ever talk to our girls about how they look, or if with other ladies we are into second looks or more, or maybe in secret into darker things, then we are so unhelpful to our daughters. They need to see and hear from us and observe in us that as much as we affirm their outward beauty, we cherish inner beauty as God does. So Peter is setting forth to us the beauty to stress. Do we stress it with our daughters? Should it not be an ongoing point in our teaching them and training them in the way they should go? Is that also your program? Inner beauty being the emphasis of your fathering and mothering. But now we must admit to something, and that is the simple fact that our teaching cannot make this happen. Our teaching about inner beauty is not sufficient to make them really and truly beautiful. Oh, there are things we can do to encourage and promote outward beauty. We can take our girls to the salon or buy them some jewelry or a dress, or, you know, we can do that sort of thing. But when it comes to inner beauty, we are powerless to accomplish it. So we can talk about it, we can reflect it, but we cannot give it to them. We cannot give to anyone this incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And that's where we come then to our last point. So we are talking about raising up beautiful daughters, and so far we've pointed out the awareness to cultivate and the beauty to stress. But lastly, notice the covenant to love. The covenant to love. The covenant of grace here, of course. Let us love the covenant of grace. Why? Simply for this reason. That the very thing that we stress but can't make happen, inner beauty, God is able to do. And God in His covenant proclaims He will do it. See, what do our daughters need? They need that gentle and quiet spirit. They don't have it by nature. No one does. They need incorruptible beauty of a hidden person of the heart. They need that most of all. They need to be changed. They need to be converted so that they do not live anymore for themselves, but for God and for the good of other people. That's what they need. That's what they are to be about. And we stand by as parents saying that, trying to reflect that, but not able to give it. We have no power of our own. But the triune God, what does He promise? We could read it earlier. Let me just highlight one aspect of it. The promise of the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit assures us by this holy sacrament that He will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. It's a long sentence. You can boil it down to this. The Holy Spirit promises to give us gentle and quiet spirits. The Holy Spirit promises to make us beautiful in and out. That is the promise of God's covenant. And it means at least two things for us. One, it means that we should never, ever stop praying for God to make our children truly beautiful. In a way, this is for sons and daughters, because this beauty is ultimately the beauty of God in Christ. And this beauty is needed by all. The beauty of righteousness and holiness. We all need it. But how we should pray for it then? The triune God has promised it. It is to be received in the way of regeneration, new birth and conversion. Let us go to Him for the fulfillment of this promise. And as we nurture awareness of God, and as we stress true spiritual beauty, let us never stop clinging to God's covenant and pleading with Him to fulfill all His words. How many of us do that with our children? Could we be encouraged, some maybe, to pray more regularly, more earnestly for God's work in our young ones, in our older ones? But something else, let us not only pray for it, but as our daughters grow up, let us point them to the covenant. So let us tell them what they need, and let us tell them what God has promised, and let us send them to Him. Let us say, here's what you lack, girls. You don't have beauty in your heart. You don't have that incorruptible beauty of yourself. That gentle and quiet spirit is far from you by nature. But you need to have it. It's so precious in the sight of God. And we can't give it to you, but He has promised to work it in you. Open your mouth wide, He has said, I will fill it. Ask Him and He will give you a new heart. Ask Him that He might make you truly beautiful. Ask Him that He will work in you, and more so, that He will give you that gentle and quiet spirit. And He will do it. He will give it to you in Christ. And He will help you to live it out by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us send our children. Let us take them, as it were, by the hand. Our daughters now. Let us take them to the covenant Lord. Let's promise. As He did today for Nora. As He's done some months ago for Cadence. He has said, I will make you beautiful forever. What a promise. And think too how it's a promise bathed in the blood of Christ. Yes, let's note that yet. It's a promise that is bathed in the blood of Christ. And did He not have all beauty? All beauty and glory. He had there in His Father's presence in heaven. And yet in His humiliation as He came to us as the incarnate Son of God. Isaiah says somewhere that there is no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. And think of that, especially when He was on the cross. When He was on the cross, there was no beauty there. There could be no beauty there. He was subject, body and soul, to the curse. And yet He was there. And He was doing all that He did there so as to guarantee even to all who look to Him in faith. He was not beautiful that He might make us truly and forever beautiful. Infinitely so. Yes, someday He plans to present to Himself His whole church as a bride prepared for her bridegroom. No blemish and no spot. That is the great promise of the covenant of God. And this afternoon it has been personally signed and sealed to Nora. And it has been so to us. Many years ago maybe, more recently, but to us. Let us therefore love the covenant. Fathers, mothers, every one of us, pleading the promises of it, trusting the covenanter Himself to clothe us with the beauty that is through His Son, and by His Spirit. Is that not the only way to live here before the face of God and to die? And is that not also how we are to raise up all our children, but especially our daughters also, to be truly beautiful daughters? Amen.